Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. At that time, Jesus came to Jericho and intended to pass through the town. Now a man there named Zacchaeus, who was the chief tax collector and also a wealthy man, was seeking to see who Jesus was. But he could not see him because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When he reached the place, Jesus looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down quickly, for today I must stay at your house." And he came down quickly and received him with joy. When they saw this, they began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to stay at the house of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Behold, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over." And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because this man too was a descendant of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save what was lost." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today we encounter the sixth and the seventh of the seven churches of the diaspora there in Turkey to whom the book of Revelation was written. In Sardis and Laodicea have many modern accents to them. And it's important for us to see how Jesus, out of love for them, was calling them to repentance, because the same expressions could be said to many of us. To the church in Sardis, Jesus said, "I know your works. I know that you have the reputation of being alive, but you're dead. The appearances were great. They looked like Christians. They, in a sense, externally behaved like Christians. But in the inside, they weren't really alive by faith. They weren't growing. Because to be alive means to grow." And Jesus called them to conversion. "Be watchful and strengthen what is left, which is going to die. For I haven't found your works complete in the sight of my God." You might be doing a few things, but you're not doing out of love, and you're probably not doing all that I'm asking of you. Remember how you accepted and heard. Keep it and repent. Go back to your faith. Keep your faith. Turn your life around. Because if you're not watching in this way, that's when I'll surprise you like a thief in the night. Said that there were a few who hadn't soiled their garments, but most had, and they were carrying around those soiled garments, the soiled garments of their baptism, needing repentance and mercy. There are many who are Catholics on the outside, but are not really alive on the inside, because they're not really growing in faith. They haven't been to confession in a long time, so in fact they may be dead mortally in their sins. And Jesus wants to bring them alive, but they need to recognize that they need to go back so that God over them can say, "My son or my daughter was dead and has come back to life again." Next church is Laodicea, which for a long time people have said resembles the United States of America. It's a fair comparison. Jesus says to them, "I know your works. I know that you're neither cold nor hot, and how I wish that you were either cold or hot." Jesus was saying that they were lukewarm, that they were tepid. If they were cold, Jesus would be able, they'd recognize that they were cold and they'd come to the heat. If they were on fire, that would be great. But as Pope Benedict said a few years ago, the great spiritual danger for us is when we're lukewarm. We're just kind of average. and we think average is all that God really wants. Because you're lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew you from my mouth. You make me sick. In other words, sick to my stomach. Because that's not the way a follower is supposed to be. And what's the cause of their tepidity? Jesus names it. For you say, I'm rich and affluent and have no need of anything. Just like the man in the parable who had plenty of grain and he was building new grain bins. Don't need anything. I've got it all. Don't need you, Lord. I'll take care of myself. I'm totally self-sufficient. And Jesus said, do you not realize that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked spiritually? Now again, this wasn't meant to insult them. This was meant to call them deeply to conversion. Jesus wanted to help them. He said, buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich. What's that gold? That's the gold of his grace. But you got to purchase it. In other words, you got to sacrifice what you presently have for this pearl of great price. Buy for me white garments to put on. Again, that garment of the baptism, so that your shameful nakedness may not be exposed. Your sinfulness may not be exposed, but be transformed. And buy ointment to smear on your eyes so that you may see, so that you're no longer blind. What is that ointment? It's the ointment of the Holy Spirit, so that they might see things as they really are. Jesus wanted precisely to help them. He wanted to help them to become burning with love for God and love for others. But that required, on their part, conversion. Those whom I love, he says toward the end, I reprove and chastise. Be sincere, therefore, and repent. This was a great call of love from God. And he summarized the whole thing saying, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, then I will enter and dine with him and he with me. And then I will sit that victor on my throne. But there's got to be that turnaround. Those were Jesus' words. In today's gospel, we see how Jesus put those words into practice. There were many people who were faithful to God on the outside, but whose hearts were far from the Lord. These were the scribes and the Pharisees all around Jesus, the ones who were going to object to what Jesus did in this gospel. They seemed to be alive because they were doing all these religious practices, but inside they were dead. They were a whitewashed sepulcher. They were full of dead men's bones because they couldn't rejoice with the life of God. And then you have this rich man, straight out of central casting from Laodicea. And so what did Jesus do? We know what Jesus did, but it was in response to what Zacchaeus had done. Zacchaeus, even though he was very wealthy, because he had been ripping off his own people as the chief tax collector, who were conspiring with the Romans against his own people, even though he was considered the head of the local mafia, he knew he wasn't self-sufficient. He knew he was lacking something. And he'd heard Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. So he went, and because he was short, he climbed up a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus. Just think about how ridiculous that is. If you had the head of the Fed climb up a tree in Washington when Pope Francis goes there next year in order to be able to see the Pope, everybody would mock. He'd be the subject of political cartoons. But it would show that something was more important to him than his reputation. And so Zacchaeus went. They were wearing togas in the ancient world. Just think about how many upskirts could be taken by the people of the age as the whole crowd was around him. It didn't matter. And then Jesus came and he said at the end, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody opens the door, I will enter and dine with him and he with me, and I will sit him on my throne. And there Jesus comes to this literally lowest place on earth, the lowest city in the world, 932 meters below sea level, knocking. Zacchaeus, I'm going to stay at your house today. And then Zacchaeus came down and he responded with incredible conversion. Half of what I have, Lord, I'll give it to the poor. And if I've ever defrauded anyone, and he was defrauding everyone, I will repay it four times over. He was going to do real repentance. This morning, Pope Francis, in his homily at the Doma, said something very insightful. He said, conversion's real when it hits our pockets. We can speak the words of conversion. We can even have the tears of conversion. But particularly in our wealthy societies, we can go on to life as normal, adoring the golden calf, succumbing to the ferocious idolatry of money and consumerism and everything else. But when conversion deeply hits our pockets, then it's real. Because then we realize that all we are and have is meant to be given to God and to others. And Zacchaeus had a profound conversion here. He let Jesus come in. Jesus dined with him. And Jesus sat him on his throne. Said at the very end, today salvation has come to this house. Zacchaeus had opened himself up through that hunger for the Lord to the greatest treasure of all. He was clothed in a white garment. He purchased gold refined by fire. And he'd received from God that anointment so that he could see what was really valuable. Today we celebrate a saint who illustrates all of these lessons as well. St. Rose Philippine Duchesne. She was not a Christian on the outside. She's Christian thoroughly alive on the inside. She came from a very wealthy family in France. Her dad was a very successful banker. Her mom came from the family that produced the French president. When she was very young, because she had been sent to study with the Visitation Sisters, she wanted to become one of them. Her dad was refusing on the one hand because he didn't want his daughter, whom he wanted to fix up in this big, beautiful marriage, to enter into religious life. But also, as a father, he didn't want her to perish in the French Revolution that was about to occur. He was savvy politically. So she had to do things on her own until Napoleon had given a decree in 1801 saying that religious orders were possible again. She tried to start once again the Visitation Nuns in Dijon, but she was unsuccessful. So she joined a new community being founded by Saint Madeleine Sophie Barat of Missionaries of the Sacred Heart. Eventually she came to the United States after a treacherous journey in order to found some schools here, in order to make people truly rich, in order to help people become truly alive. It was a very, very difficult time. We can't glorify the life of the missionaries. It was incredibly difficult what they were doing. The cold that they'd have to suffer through, the abandonment they'd have on the part of the church. It's kind of shameful when you look back at it, that they just weren't adequately taken care of. They were sent out into the boonies in order to fend for themselves. But God was with them. She started to found schools in five different states, many of which are still there. Then toward the end of her life, when she started to get ill, she recognized she could no longer be the superior of the community she had founded here in the United States. So a bishop out there in the west of Kansas, who was trying to work among the Potawatomi Indians, asked for her to come just so that she could pray there. She took on that very important mission. So she went out. She was too ill to really do any teaching. She couldn't learn the Potawatomi dialect, but she could pray for them. And that's what she did as her great mission for a decade of her life. Ceaseless prayer for the success of the mission, pulling all-nighters, just adoring the Lord. The little Indian girls were fascinated by her. This woman who prayed all night. One time they snuck in at night because they figured she was just faking it. She was a Christian on the outside. There's no way somebody could love this God enough to stay up all night talking to him. So they came on in very quietly, as Indians could without shoes. And they put little pieces of paper all over the back of her shawl with which she had covered herself in the cold chapel, because they knew when they would come back the next morning they'd see the paper in all other different places, because she would have lay down someplace. When they came back, they were all exactly as they had found it. And so they nicknamed her. I'm going to forget it now, but Hana Kawaii, which means the one who always prays. She was the one who was constantly trading in everything for that refined gold, for that white garment, for that healing salve, not just for herself, but for others. She was a sign how God never ceases to knock on hearts, calling people to Himself, calling people ultimately to salvation. Today, as we come forward, we ask the Lord to be candid with us. Am I really alive in faith, or do I just have the appearance of being alive? Am I carrying around sins that actually suffocate divine life in me? Am I walking the walk, or just pretending to walk the walk? Am I on fire out of love for God, so that everybody else can catch that fire? Or am I satisfied just being a few degrees warmer than all my tepid neighbors? Jesus is knocking on the door of our heart today. He wants to give us what He longed to give those in Sardis and Laodicea, what He longed to give Zacchaeus. And there's nothing he wouldn't do. Zacchaeus, in this scene, in order to see Jesus, climbed a tree and exposed himself to embarrassment. Jesus, in order that we might see Him, climbed a tree and exposed Himself to terrible ignominy to give us this treasure. It's time to open the door.